The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking ROAX, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. At again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Today, I thought it might be interesting to talk about a type of work in music called the concerto, and give you a few examples of some of my favorite works in this genre. First of all, let's define the term. The word concerto is a musical term that stands for a piece of music that is usually set up in three different movements or sections that make up a major work written for orchestra and solo instrument. The earliest known form of the concerto is called the concerto grosso, which is characterized by the use of a small group of solo instruments called concertino, or principal, that play against the full orchestra in the form of Baroque music. The term concertino is also used in 19th and 20th century music and is defined as a one-movement, free-form work. In these works, the solo instrumentation is also usually comprised of two violins, one cello, also called a thorough bass, and a harpsichord. As far as the concerto grosso is concerned, the earliest known authors of the style are Italian composers Alessandro Stradella, 1639 to 1682, and Arcangelo Corelli, 1653 to 1713. These concertos by Stradella and Corelli were usually written in a four or more movement sequence, and some of them were written for the church and called Concerti for Chiesa and Concerti for Camera. But the one who established the true form of the modern-day concerto was another Italian composer-violinist, by the name of Giuseppe Torelli. Torelli was the one who established the standard tempo markings of the three-movement concerto, which are fast, slow, and fast, that was adopted by Antonio Vivaldi, 1678 to 1741, and Johann Sebastian Bach, 1685 to 1750. As far as the form of concerto chiesa is concerned, it did continue to make itself known, and the form showed up in various composers' works, including the Handel Concertos, Opus 6. As far as my favorite beginning concertos, they were written by the legendary Johann Sebastian Bach, including his Keyboard Concerto No. 1 in D minor, BMV 1052, and his outstanding 6 Brandenburg Concertos, written in the years 1718 through 1721. These particular concertos were dedicated to Margrave Christian Ludwig, the youngest son of the Elector of Brandenburg, which was one of the independent states of Germany at the time. Each one of these Brandenburg concertos consists of this new three-movement style, which again mandates fast, slow, and fast. Except, that is, for the first Brandenburg concerto, which is a minuet and a polonaise at the end. And although Bach didn't call the set of concertos by their famous Brandenburg name, he did consider them a set. Here is one of my favorite recordings of one of these masterpieces, only it's not performed in its conventional form. This is the Allegro section from the third Brandenburg Concerto, performed on the Moog synthesizer by the amazing Walter Carlos. The truly brilliant quality of this recording and other recordings by Walter Carlos is that the keyboardist never tries to recreate the sound of a conventional orchestra like many other keyboard players do. Walter Carlos only offers his own interpretation and stays true blue to the electronic keyboard called the Moog. Thank you. Next, let's move to whom I consider the most brilliant and prolific composer of the concerto for piano. And if you know me, you would know that that artist would be Mozart. The Mozart Piano Concertos 11, 12, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, and 27 are each miraculous in their own right. And aside from his operas, boast the composer's pure genius of balance between the solo instrument and the orchestra. And if I had to pick the one that was my favorite from the bunch, it would have to be the Piano Concerto in D minor, number 20, K466. This concerto was written in the year 1785 and performed at the Mille Gruba Casino on February the 11th of that same year. And although Mozart's father Leopold wrote in a letter that Wolfgang did write out cadenzas or improvisational sections for K-466, unfortunately, these sections do not survive. From what is also written, it seems that Mozart never even got a chance to play through the rondo section of the work before the performance, because he was too busy overseeing the copyist. It is also a fact that the young Beethoven loved this concerto so much that he kept it in his repertory for the duration of his performing career. He, along with Johannes Brahms, also wrote cadenzas for the concerto. Here is the great Friedrich Gulda at the piano with Claudio Abbadiu and the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra performing the third movement of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 20 in D minor, K-466. Listen closely, and you will hear two famous cadenzas, or improvisational sections. The first was penned in by another great pianist of the 18th and 19th centuries, by the name of Johann Hummel, and the second is by the Titan, Ludwig von Beethoven. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we move to the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 21 in C major, K467, also known as Elvira Madigan. In the first movement, Mozart does not give a tempo marking, which is rare, because usually, at the beginning of most pieces of music, the composer usually gives a tempo marking in reference so that the performer knows what speed to stay close to. But, without this tempo marking, it seems that this is a clear indication of Mozart's willingness to let the musician explore the notes and come up with their own tempo, within reason. The second movement, known commercially because of its linking to the 1968 motion picture Elvira Madigan, contains one of Mozart's most famous tunes of all time. The modulation moves that he makes during the second movement Andante are so significant in respect to subliminal chromaticism at that time that I am sure if Mozart's royal employers understood what he was doing, they would have fired him immediately or executed him. This movement is Mozart playing one of his greatest games of chess ever with the grand staff, due to the uncertain direction that the chordal structure takes against the melody. Mozart as soloist debuted this concerto on March the 10th, 1785 at the Burg Theater. He was 29 years old. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roax, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. And again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Next, we come to the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 22 in E-flat major, K-482. This concerto was the opening piece for an oratorio called Esther by composer and violinist Carl von Dittersdorf, 1739 to 1799. At this concert, it is written that the supposed arch-rival Antonio Salieri was the only one on hand who could conduct for the performance. So, most likely, it was Salieri who conducted the orchestra while Mozart played the pianoforte. When Mozart performed this concerto at one of the three Advent concerts that he presented to over 120 subscribers during that same period, the middle movement Andante received so much applause that Mozart had to repeat the movement twice. Here is Malcolm Bilson at the pianoforte with the English Baroque soloists performing the last movement of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 22 in E-flat major, K-482. Here Bilson plays on a replica of Mozart's pianoforte, built by Philip Belt. Belt constructed two replicas of Mozart's pianofortes, originally designed by Anton Walter in the year 1780 and Louis Dulcan in the year 1790.
Thank you.
Next, we move on to Ludwig von Beethoven. If it wasn't for Beethoven defying the old regime, music probably would have taken a different course in the 1800s. Beethoven's methods of piano technique and approach are probably the most important of any composer ever, aside from Chopin and Franz Liszt. During Beethoven's reign as a pianist, he was definitely not afraid to hit the keys a little bit harder than the next guy, and it was not rare for Beethoven to go through a set of piano strings during a performance. His piano concertos No. 4 in G major and No. 5 in E flat major, known as the Emperor, to me are his best piano concertos. The tragic loss of Beethoven's hearing and deepening intensity of creative power truly prevented him from introducing these two masterworks to the mass public. Beethoven did perform his fourth concerto at his famous concert on December the 22nd, 1808, at the age of 38. But in all actuality, because of his deafness, his career as a concert pianist was over. The fifth piano concerto in E-flat major, Opus 73, is my favorite piano concerto of the 19th century. It was debuted in Leipzig, Germany on November the 28th, 1811, with Friedrich Schneider at the piano and conductor Johann Schulz and the Gewandhaus Orchestra. The middle section, called Adagio un poco mosso, truly declares inside the piece that the Romantic era has begun and that the classical movement, for all intensive purposes, was now an era of the past. Here is Emanuel Ax at the piano with conductor André Previn and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra performing movement number 2 from Ludwig von Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major, Opus 73, known as the Emperor.